In addition, we have over 600 children in our community that are homeless today.
The good news keeps on rolling. Hey there, I'm Eric Deatherage.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Thank you for being with us today for another edition of Prairie Beat.
Yeah, it's our weekly breakdown of North Dakota news from the Prairie Public Newsroom. Danielle, I hate to say it, but unfortunately, I guess we sound like broken records at this point. Wish we didn't, but we're talking about the effects, and you heard that quote earlier, on children of the federal government shutdown. But truthfully, the longer it goes, the heavier these impacts are.
Yeah, you're right. Speaking of broken records, as of today, we're now in the longest government shutdown in American history. We've talked about this before. It shut down for 21 days back in the 90s. In the last Trump presidency, it shut down for 35 days in the winter of 2018-19. But today, the current shutdown has officially been in effect for 36 days.
Yeah, and we're checking our phones and just making sure as we're talking that the shutdown hasn't officially ended. Wouldn't that be something, mm-hmm. right? We'd be uncorking some champagne right now along with you. Well, usually it is exciting and cool to break records, but I can't really say the same here.
The shutdown all comes down to a stalemate between Democrats and Republicans in Congress. The Senate is currently working, but the House is not in session. The two parties could not agree on a continuing resolution to keep the government funded. Democrats didn't want to approve it because it did not extend tax credits for the Affordable Care Act. And Republicans basically are not budging. They're saying this is the resolution, so you have to agree to these terms.
You know, I remember a few weeks ago, Danielle, you talked to North Dakota's insurance commissioner about those tax credits. He was pretty adamant about extending them.
Yes, and Dave spoke to him again this week as well. His position has not changed. John Gottfried is a Republican, but that doesn't really matter to him at this point.
The consumer in the middle of all this is the one who's getting harmed. I'm not sure they're going to care about who's winning or who's losing in D.C. I think what they're going to be looking at is, can I afford to purchase health insurance this year? And that's the concern I have.
Yeah, for him, it's not about the political football. And I think the most people, they feel the same way, too. Just get it done. Well, that's certainly a concern I have, too. And honestly, this is a conversation that's been going on for such a long time. Healthcare is expensive. The Affordable Care Act, which was passed to help address that and has been popular, according to polling, with the public, but it's not popular in the halls of Congress, especially among Republicans. I think work can and should continue on reforming the systems. It's expensive all the way around, but at the end of the day, Commissioner Gottfried is right. The consumers are the ones holding the bag here. Isn't that always the case? And it's making it very chaotic for folks trying to purchase their insurance. Without tax credits, they are looking at double or even triple the rates.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not an economist, but I do talk to them sometimes for my job. And what I think Commissioner Gottfried and members of Congress who won't vote for the CR see happening is a lot of trickle-down problems. If folks are priced out of their insurance, they just won't buy it. So then the pool of insured people will shrink. The risk will become greater, and that will only further drive up costs. And then you have the issue of uninsured folks who may end up needing health care after all. They're resorting to being seen in emergency rooms, not being able to afford those visits. And so that's even more financial strain on the economy as a whole. And that's just about the health care issue. With the government not functioning, we've also been talking about funding stopping for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
Yeah, that has me very concerned, Danielle. I mean, you said trickle down, but this feels more like dominoes to me. There's 42 million people in the U.S. who utilize SNAP who didn't receive their benefits. So now we're talking about folks who can't put food on the table. But also grocery and big box stores no longer receiving billions of dollars in revenue. I'm no economist either, but that sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, but what we're also seeing is community response. Last week, I talked to Marsha Paulson at the Great Plains Food Bank about their efforts on the ground to deliver meals. They're working to raise money and 1 million extra pounds of food. And then since then, Governor Kelly Armstrong has come to the table as well. Last Thursday, he directed $1.5 million to support food assistance programs, including $915,000 to the Great Plains Food Bank directly. They distribute to just under 200 food pantries across the whole state. And then yesterday, I spoke with someone else from another community action organization.
My name is Sandy Piatz, and I'm the president and CEO of the United Way of Cass Clay.
Now, United Way, of course, is always on the ground raising money for community needs. They focus on education, health, and financial stability. And they're also really good at connecting other action partners so they can kind of strengthen one another's missions. For example, they've been working on a community initiative to reduce and end homelessness in the Fargo-Moorhead area this year. This week, they held their annual Women's United Luncheon.
All of the funds that are raised today go towards lifting up women and children in poverty. We're going to have close to 550 women joining us here today, a few men as well.
550 community-minded women in one room? Ah, yes, that is certainly one way to get moving on stuff.
Piatz became president and CEO earlier this year, so she's new to the role, but she's always been very focused in her career on serving her community. She told me that the women came from all sorts of places. These are local business leaders, they work at nonprofits, agency organizations, and other places, and they're very eager to respond to the needs of the Fargo-Moorhead community.
We have 9,000 people in our community that are using SNAP benefits, and for every $1 of SNAP benefit that's spent, it creates $1.50 of economic impact in our community as well. So we do need to work together as a community to lift this up.
She also told me that right now, 1 in 7 children in the Fargo-Moorhead area live in poverty, with over 600 children currently experiencing homelessness as well. And with the shutdown still in effect, conditions will only get worse. But she told me that being in a room with that many people, and women specifically, is energizing. They are ready to get to work.
We have a responsibility in order to step forward and lead and help those that have less than us.
I know it seems like congressional Republicans and Democrats are at a stalemate. There's news there, right? And nobody wants to budge. But Danielle, one other thing I think that needs to be mentioned is last night's elections. Well, speaking of women springing into action, right? It was a night for women on the Democratic side anyway. But Republicans have been insisting that the shutdown is all on Democrats. But voters really turned out for Democratic races last night. Just a few results to mention. Governor races in New Jersey and Virginia. The mayoral race in New York. A social Democrat won that one. Mm-hmm. But it's New York. It can kind of get strange with politics there.
You just
kind of never know who's going to win that. But even the Prop 50 redistricting measure in California were all Democratic victories, and that was basically a blowback on the redistricting that states like Texas have performed for Republicans. And with next year being the midterms, you have to wonder if congressional Republicans are looking at that and wondering about next moves.
Yeah, you know, it's still pretty fresh. It remains to be seen, obviously, but congressional terms are only 2 years, so everything is up for grabs next year. And as far as Republican or Democratic Party politics might go, you know, those folks might be looking at certain qualities or platforms when it comes to the candidates they choose. But what remains at the end of the day is we have the leaders in place that we have for today in the roles they were initially elected to. And the public's responsibility is to lead them to where they want them to be. That's the ultimate point of democracy, right?
Well, if the government shutdown and all its impacts wasn't news enough, there is other stuff going on in the region. Danielle, what you got?
They legitimately care about what this land is going to be generations into the future.
Well, North Dakota received high marks for its coal reclamation and abandoned mine lands program.
You know, there absolutely is cybersecurity when it comes to ag.
Todd had a pretty neat story this week about agricultural technology, the advances, but also the vulnerabilities.
It's one of the main reasons we've been successful in defending the country against further attacks, and I don't believe we violated anybody's civil liberties.
And Governor Armstrong directed flags to fly at half staff in honor of former Vice President Dick Cheney, who passed away Monday at age 84. They will fly that way until the day of interment. That is according to U.S. flag code.
Nobody can deny that Dick Cheney was probably the most powerful vice president in U.S. history.
Yeah, that's what a lot of folks have been saying about him this week.
Yep. So that is it for this week's Prairie Beat. I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat again soon.